Hello, everyone. Good evening. Welcome into another edition of JMac Live. I know the first thing you're thinking, Jay, why are you in this box to the left of the screen? Why can't you just leave well enough alone? And if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see it. But I'm trying to make this the best live experience possible. And I've always been frustrated that most of the real estate on the screen is just from one side to me to the other. And I'm like, is there a way that I could better use this real estate? And there's some fun tools out there that I thought I would try. So the first thing I want you to do is just comment. You can help me test this out a little bit. So comment, tell me where you're at, where you're listening in from. The other thing I'd like you to do as a test is I'd like you to go on your social media, wherever you are watching this, and like the post. And if you like the post, we should all see an indication of it on the screen. So if you like it, and then I need somebody to share it, try and share it with somebody. And if I've got things working properly, then we'll know when it happened. There is Sarah saying hello from South Jordan. Sarah, thank you for texting in. Janelle joining us from Roy, Utah. Oh, Sarah has just liked the stream. Do you see it? Do you see it? Did you all see it? Orion says, I activated my Facebook account just to watch this. So somebody else like the stream. Oh, Janelle just liked the stream. Do you see it? I mean, is that not like the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your life? I'm going to try and adjust the text here a little bit and see if I can get that better centered as well. Again, just trying to improve upon the experience. And see, Libby, just like the stream. Doesn't that just change the whole experience? I think it does. I like to see it. Orion has just liked the stream. I'm going to get some better graphics there. If you share, I think it's a SpongeBob doing a dance if you share the stream with somebody else. And then if you follow, if you haven't followed, then that's a Plankton from SpongeBob. So I'm supposed to set this up with my own like cool graphics and stuff to celebrate every time somebody likes the page or every time you share or something like that. Orion, I'll take your comment down here. Let's see. Libby says, I'm here. Janelle says, yes, we see it. See, David just liked the page. Look at that. Sarah says, that is hilarious. Look at that. Libby has just shared the stream. Do you see? It's amazing. That's Plankton. Plankton's a little small. I need a better graphic for that. And those of you on the podcast, sorry, just check back in on Facebook or YouTube and you'll see what we're talking about. Don't you think that's a much better use of real estate? I think that it is. Also, I've made a couple of changes to Michael has liked the stream. Look at that. It's amazing. Might be a little distracting for me. but I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your comments coming. Thank you for joining us tonight. It makes you feel like you're participating a little bit more, right? I wanted to let you know that I continue in my quest to look for a new home politically. Those of you who were not here, I've tweeted and announced that I have officially left the Republican Party. We interviewed Jim Bennett the other day with the United Utah Party. Many of you listening have gone and researched the United Utah Party on your own. A couple of you have actually joined the party. I'm still researching and looking. I had the opportunity to sit down with Becky Edwards last night. She is running as a Republican against Mike Lee, and we just had a fantastic conversation about the state of politics and the lack of building on common ground. And so she's going to join me on the podcast coming up. I think it's important, regardless of what party we're a member of, that we support people who stand on principle and who carry themselves in a certain way. Janelle says, let me get it up here. She says, I am part of the UUP. Fantastic, Janelle. I like what I see so far. Andrew is joining us from Logan. Hey, Andrew. We've got Jenny listening in from Logan as well. So you guys get together and have a little JMAC party up there or whatever. And again, if you're just joining us, take a minute and like the post and watch what happens on the screen. It's amazing. It's magical. It's unbelievable. Or share the post. And I'll have other ways for you to participate. I think in the near future, I'm going to be able to do some polling. Like sometimes we have a question and I'm like, I wonder what everybody feels about that. We can do polling using this new setup. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. So Andrew has just liked the stream. Thank you, Andrew. That's really just a cheap way to bribe you into liking the stream. That's all it is. I hope if you're liking, you really are liking. Norma, liking it. Look at that. It's amazing. It's like instant gratification. It's fantastic. But so I wanted to let you know, Becky Edwards, watch for her. She's going to join us on the podcast coming up. I'm going to continue this search. I also want to remind you to go to liftpolitics.org and sign up. Read our guiding principles there. And if you agree, sign up, join the movement to bring some sense of adult behavior back to politics. Check that out as well. That's something we've been working on behind the scenes for months now, and we're starting to see some growth, and we actually have some commitments now from several people running for office that they're going to sign our pledge and they're going to abide by the guiding principles. So that's just going to be amazing. Orion's typed it in there, liftpolitics.org. Thank you, Orion. So please check that out as well. And let me know what you think about these guiding principles. I think that they're critical to restoring our government back to a place where they actually get things done. Because right now, I've just come to this conclusion that the goal is to not get anything done. And Jim Bennett kind of talked about this, that the goal is if they get things done, they take away things that divide us. They take away fundraising issues. Like if they could come together and find common ground on the environment, they won't be able to fundraise off that issue. If we could get together, I mean, if suddenly they came together on critical race theory or built on commonality, they won't be able to fundraise on those issues. And you know, it's obvious when somebody's goal is to get something done for the good of the people versus if their goal is to divide the people for political gain. And the way you know is if they're talking about common ground. If they're talking about common ground, then their goal is to accomplish something and to pass something that best represents the largest number of people. But if they're talking about differences and convincing you that we are so desperately different than those on the other side, then you know that they're seeking to divide us. And that is done for political gain. They want to manipulate us. They want to gin us up to anger and frustration and hatred towards the other side. Because then we'll open up our wallets and then they can manipulate us with misinformation and steer us in any direction that they want. And we're seeing this everywhere. And you just slap a label on it and they fundraise on it and nothing gets done. Because if it got done, then it's off the table. And then you can't fundraise on it anymore. So part of it is us. We're a little bit to blame for that. Because I can tell you my experience campaigning, if I send out an email, I never did. But when we even got close to sending out an email talking about the evil socialist Marxist Democrats, that's when the dollars come in. That's when people donate. you send out an email talking about getting things done and building on common ground, everybody's like, meh. And we also talk about how the word civility has become a naughty word. And it's not a naughty word. It's not. Andrew says, division is killing this country. You are 100% correct, Andrew. But it's by design. I've really come to believe that. It is by design. They want to divide us for their own personal gain. I want to ask, is my lighting a little bit too bright tonight? Redid the lighting. Is that better? Let me know. Is that better? I think that's probably a little better. My forehead feels like it's glowing. Let me fix that a little bit too. Don't you love all this on-the-fly adjustments? Is that better, or do I need to go back to the light? Let me know. And again, if you're just joining us, please take a minute and like this stream so that you can see your like appear magically on the screen with a cool animated GIF or GIF, whatever you want to call it. Okay, couple of things on my agenda tonight. Nolan says, who wants to divide us? Both parties want to divide us, Nolan. The division is what keeps them going. And in fact, some of the recent political discussions I've been having with people is that the largest political group in our country is independents. There are 500. Orion says, what's up with the purple glow? Is there a little bit of a purple glow? Sorry. I'm getting a little distracted here. Little purple glow. Ooh. Oh, maybe that's better. Okay. We were having this discussion that the number one or the biggest group in our country is independents. There's 500,000 unaffiliated voters in the state of Utah. 500,000. There's more independents than there are members of the other parties. And I'm starting to think that we need to have a Bug's Life moment here where the ants realize that they outnumber the grasshoppers. And we take this nation back and we start working towards getting things done by building on common ground. So that's just me. Let's see. Brad says, I'm trying to get this text to stay over here like this, but it doesn't want to do it. So I'll put it down here. What conservative principles of the former Republican Party are you missing? I'm going to put that back up. In the current party, is it just the divisive, seditious demeanor of the party driving you away? Just trying to sort it out for myself as well. So, great question. I'm glad you asked, Brad. Hang on, let me. If I put it there, then we're not going to be able to see your likes. I'll figure it out. Enough messing with the screen. As far as the platform of conservatism, of smaller government, states' rights, those types of things, civil liberties, I would probably be in agreement with most of those things as platform things when it comes to the Republican Party. But their embrace of COVID lies and election lies are killing people, literally killing people. People are dying because Republican leadership is refusing to do the right thing. And our nation is dying because of election lies. You know, people forget that we are a voluntary compliance nation. The only reason all of this works is because we all voluntarily go along with it. We're not all following the laws because there's police officers potentially at our door. We're not, elections don't work where one incumbent leaves and the other one comes in and it's all done peacefully. That's all done and it all happens because of faith in the system. And when people have lost faith in the electoral system, you can't have a democracy. You can't have a republic. Those things cannot coexist. So the party that I claim membership to has openly embraced election lies and COVID lies. You know, it's one thing you want to get caught up in politics and use hyperbole and attacks when you're talking about a tax cut or when you're talking about spending. It's another when people die because of your choices. It's another when a nation dies because of your choices. So that, Brad, I hope that helps clarify it for you. If the Republican Party was not participating in these activities, then I would still be a member today. I don't see a way back. Not as long as Trump is in the picture. I do not see a way back. And we're heading to a situation because Biden is having a lot of issues right now where people are going to have a very short memory about Donald J. Trump. They're going to remember the economy. They're going to forget the other stuff. And they're going to start going, man, you know, it wasn't so bad under Trump. And we're going to return to that madness. And if we do return and he doesn't win, then he's going to continue to spread the election lies. And if he continues to spread the election lies for a second election in a row, that could be it. That could be the match point. That could be the ignition point for all of it. So that's my issue. That's my issue. Orion, is my face still got the purple glow? Is it any better? So that's where I'm at. And we'll see what happens. Back to what I had planned for you tonight. Cancel culture claims are back, this time with Jon Gruden. I've told you that I hate the label cancel culture because when we put a label on something, we never actually have a discussion about whether or not the thing is good. It's like we don't want to have the discussion. If we can just label it as cancel culture, hang on, then it's automatically bad when the reality is there are things in our society that we should look at and say, yeah, that's probably not a good thing. And people confuse free speech with the ability to say whatever you want without consequence. That's not what free speech is. Free speech has never been say whatever you want without consequence. Free speech has always been say whatever you want without ramifications from the government. So you can't get arrested for free speech. It's never been you can't be fired for free speech. It's never been you can't be doxxed or hated by social media or attacked by the media itself because you exercise your free speech. Speech, just like all of our rights, has consequences. And you don't have a freedom from those consequences. So when cancel culture is used, oh, that's just cancel culture. I always go back to, you're right, Nolan says nobody should be doxxed. A bad example. You're right, Nolan, thank you. That just jumped into my head. When cancel culture is used, I'm like, you know, maybe we better dive in here and see if this is something that was an appropriate decision. Because there are parts of our society that should be canceled. And we've grown as a society. Now, there is also a part of society that pushes the political correctness too far. But we don't advance the debate on that side of the equation when we just assign things to cancel culture. Because, you know, what's funny is the cancel culture argument could be used so easily by the other side. Anytime, anything of controversy, oh, it's cancel culture. So to me, I hate the phrase, I hate the labeling. I just hate it. Orion says, if there are no consequences for speech, then you weren't very effective with that speech. I've always said that there's one guarantee from free speech. There's one guarantee, no matter what, from free speech. And that guarantee is you're going to get offended. And if you can, if you think you can have free speech without getting offended, then I don't think you understand free speech. But okay, so let's talk about this. The reason I wanted to bring this up, I was sad when I heard that John Gruden had resigned from the Raiders. Maybe you're not familiar with this. Maybe you don't follow the sport ball. But I've always liked John Gruden. I grew up in the Bay Area, and I had to choose between the Raiders and the 49ers. I chose the Raiders. So I've been silver and black my whole life. And I've really liked John Gruden as coach, liked him as a sports commentator on Monday Night Football. Was sad when he left that, but he was going back to the Raiders. So I'm like, okay, I can accept that. I will be honest with you, I never did any like real research into his personal life, but I never heard anything, you know, terrible or bad. So I'm like, hey, you know, John Gruden, fantastic. But it turned out that he had said something in an email that was a commentary about a black man and his large rubber lips. And people started freaking out about it. And he says that rubber lips is a commentary that he uses for somebody who lies. And so somebody asked me the other day, do you think John Gruden's going to survive this? And I said, well, if that's the only thing, then yeah, he'll probably survive it. He's apologized. He's explained himself. He'll probably survive it. But then I hear that he had resigned. And I'm like, okay, there's something else going on here. But what spurred me on to talk about this is I was having a conversation with somebody today. And they said, oh, can you believe they did that to John Gruden? It's just cancel culture. We're just so sensitive nowadays. And so I just asked this person, just kindly, do you know what he said? And you know what their answer was? No. And I'm just like, head in hands. So what drives you to the conclusion that this is cancel culture or inappropriate when you haven't? You don't even know what the guy said. I'm just sitting there flabbergasted. I'm like, so what was it? Is it, I got to start asking, what is it that has you knee-jerking that this is an overreaction? Is it his skin color? Is it, what is it that has you excusing away actions you don't even know what they were? And putting a label on it like cancel culture so that you don't have to deal with it. It was just fascinating to me. I'm like, I just, it was just mind blowing. So I started to explain to him some of the things that were said. And guess who changed their opinion right there on the spot once they had some information? Now, I'm going to share with you, these are all past emails, and I'm going to share with you what he said. And I want to know from you if this is cancel culture or if this is an appropriate separation. Now, he says he resigned. Was that the Raiders being nice, saying you're done? Or he says, I don't want to be a distraction for the Raiders. What is it? I want to know from you what you think it is. And we'll decide together, is this cancel culture? If this happened in your workplace, would the employee still be there? If this commentary was made about you, would you say, oh, it's just cancel culture? So those are all the things that I want you to keep in mind as we talk about this. Ryan says, Abby loves that you adopted the phrase sports ball from her. Did it just for you, Abby. Janelle says, yes, most of the time it's best to try to get the most information possible before getting upset. We could probably all do better at this. I agree. Brad says, love how you explained alleged cancel culture by business as the free market. Business can decide how they run their business, and people are free to start their own businesses with opposing views. It's exactly right. That was always my issue with the idea that Trump wanted to have some type of review board or censorship for social media, because he felt like they were slanted or biased. So he wanted to treat them as though they were journalists, like the media. And to me, that whole idea flies in the face of my conservative beliefs that businesses have rights too, and that a business should be allowed to decide what appears on their shelves. To me, that's part of conservatism. And certainly censorship, because you don't like what's being said towards you. So now we're going to abandon those conservative beliefs of business rights. That it, when I hear fellow conservatives embrace these ideas, I'm like, you're going counter to your own belief system. And I said from the very beginning, what Trump should be doing is starting his own social media platform. And because obviously there's an opportunity there. And that's how capitalism deals, and free markets, like Brad says, that's how free markets deal with this. Just like the bakery that doesn't want to make a cake for a certain couple. In that case, you support business rights, right? And then you turn around and say you want to force business to decide what they put on their shelves. You see what I mean? The conflict here is just maddening. Okay, so what I want to do is share with you some of these emails, and I'll give you my take along the way here, and we can kind of read this together. I found it interesting that nobody reported this. This was not a situation of somebody... Oh, look at that. My green screen came up. I have all kinds of... Every time I change something, I've got to go back and reset everything. But you guys are good, patient folks, right? Let's see. We'll go there. Does that look about right? Yeah, very good. But the glow is back. What is that glow tonight? I don't know where that's coming from. It's me. I'm just glowing kind of blue. Hang on. Ooh, I like that. I can give myself a tan. I can do all kinds of things. Okay. All right. Does this need to be a little bit bigger for you guys to read it? No, maybe that's about it. Okay. The NFL has uncovered yet more emails involving Raiders coach John Gruden from 2010 through 2018, in which he used, now this is their classification, in which he used sexist, homophobic, and transphobic language, according to a report from the New York Times. So I'm not a fan when the media assigns the interpretation. This is one of the things that I don't like when the media does. I don't like them to tell you instantly what type of language this is. I think that they should tell you the language, and then you decide what it is. But that's where we are with the media. Okay. So it came out, as I told you, that he had made a comment about the lips of somebody who's a black man who has big lips and called them giant rubber lips. And Gruden said that's what he calls liars. He calls them rubber lips. So if that was the only statement, then maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation. But here's the story. League officials uncovered the emails as part of a workplace misconduct investigation into former Washington football team president Bruce Allen. They were not focused on Gruden. He was not in the league at the time. He had already come under fire for using an apparently racist trope against NFL Players Association executive director Demaurice Smith. That's the one I told you about. So these emails surfaced as a result of a separate investigation. And so I find it interesting. Nobody complained. Nobody was calling for his termination. This was all just discovered based upon a side investigation. So, again, reading here, per the Times, he often called NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell a... Now, they won't even print the word. It's an F word, but it's not the F word that you're typically used to. The word here is the derogatory slang that is considered highly homophobic. That F word starts with an F, ends with a T. You know the word I'm talking about? So he often called NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell a... rhymes with maggot. and a clueless anti-football. And the word here starts with a P and ends with a Y. I hate this word. But you might think of a cat. So he often called NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell those derogatory terms. He also reportedly exchanged emails with Allen and others that included photos of women wearing only bikini bottoms. One photo reportedly included two Washington football team cheerleaders. What do you think so far? Does he stay or does he go? If you're the owner of the Raiders, if you're the NFL commissioner, if your players, what do you think? At this point, does he stay or does he go? What do you think? And is this cancel culture? Let's see. Gruden also criticized larger issues that surfaced in or otherwise had platforms of discussion in the league. For example, he reportedly criticized former President Barack Obama during his 2020 reelection campaign and called then Vice President Joe Biden a nervous, clueless, and then we have the P word again. Gruden reportedly also denounced the league for attempting to reduce concussions, adding that Eric Reed, who demonstrated during the playing of the national anthem as a form of protest against police brutality, should be fired. Now, these are interesting for me. I don't like him calling the president a P word, but I don't think that that is... Again, I don't like it. But somebody calling the vice president something, I don't see that as standout to me. If he had used racist terminology towards Obama, then I would take that into consideration. And again, my entire perspective is the team let him go. Did they let him go because this is cancel culture? Or was this justifiable? If he had used racist terminology about President Obama, and then he's going to go down on the field and coach a bunch of Black Americans, you can easily say he has lost credibility with the people that he's supposed to coach and inspire. To me, there is a direct connection between the two. If he had done that towards Obama, him calling the vice president a nervous, clueless P word, that to me is just, you know, it's just foul language. That's all that is. Him denouncing the league for attempting to reduce concussions. Again, that's an opinion. It depends on how he denounced it. If he's just expressing an opinion, like I don't agree with how they're dealing with concussions, I don't see that as cause. And I don't see him even saying that a protester at the national anthem should be fired. I don't see that as cause. I And I see that as a viable opinion. I don't agree with that opinion. The NFL, it was their job to decide if they were going to terminate those NFL players. That's where the decision should have been made the entire time. The NFL decided to allow those players to continue to protest. So to me, that's end of story. And then you can decide whether or not you want to watch. And a lot of people decided that they didn't want to watch. But again, I don't consider that in itself to be cause either. So let's move on here. So what do we have so far? So calling the NFL commissioner, the head of the league that he works for, the F word that ends with a T, and the P word that ends with a Y. Yeah, that's big time. That's your boss. And that's the guy who has to have credibility with everybody else in the league, okay? I mean, for people who would say this is cancel culture, all right, I'm just curious where you work. In fact, why don't you try it? Just send out an email and call your boss the F word that ends with a T or the P word that ends with the Y. Just try it. And you will experience cancel culture at its finest. So I do find that to be problematic. I find it problematic for him to be using company email to be sending pictures of topless women and pictures of the cheerleaders who are employed by the league. These are problematic. But the some of these other issues I don't find to be cause. Let's see, in 2015, Gruden condemned a congressional bill that attempted to force Washington to change his name from the Redskins, which many Native Americans view as a slur. Gruden received a link also that year detailing how players wanted Goodell to support them in efforts to promote racial equality and criminal justice. So here again, he's dealing with issues of race, and he has to go down and be a coach to a very diverse group of people. The Redskins issue, that's not a big one for me. The support against efforts to promote racial equality and criminal justice reform, you know, that again, I'm not going to see that as cause either. But then he said about the NFL commissioner, he needs to hide in his concussion protocol tent. Once again, now you're destroying the credibility of the league and the commissioner of the league. These are causal. These are directly going to impact the league and the people you work with, the people you work for, and the people you coach. He also singled out individuals as targets of hateful language. Again, this is their language. That includes Caitlyn Jenner, whom Gruden mocked when she won an award in 2015 after transitioning. He also asked Allen to tell Brian Glazer, whose family owns the Buccaneers, to perform oral sex on him. Yeah. Allen reportedly responded that Glazer would take you up on that offer. Actionable? Yeah. Talking about another member of the league that you work for? Performing oral sex on you? Yeah, my friends, that's actionable. That's causal. Absolutely. Gruden also targeted Michael Sam, who came out as gay before attempting an NFL career. Per the Times, Gruden criticized Goodell for pressuring former St. Louis Rams coach Fisher to draft queers. That was a reference to Sam, who came out as gay ahead of the 2014 NFL draft and was selected with the Rams' second-to-last pick in the seventh round. Was there anything else? This is DeMaurice Smith talking about the original item that got him in trouble, got Gruden in trouble. He said he called him Dumbboris Smith, and said he has the lips the size of Michelin tires. And again, he just said that was him talking about him being a liar. So I talked about each thing individually. But when you group it all together, you start to get a picture here, don't you? You start to get a picture of a man who thinks in racial terms. This is my interpretation. Who uses inappropriate, insensitive language to describe people who he disagrees with. He freely and openly attacks his superiors and those who disagree with him. Clearly homophobic. And so you start to get a picture of a man who has got a lot of ugly on the inside. Now, I'm just curious, after all of this, if any of you think that it would be a good decision to keep this man on the payroll. And how does he continue to do his job? How does he continue to support the commissioner? How does he be considered a coach and a mentor to the people on the field? I don't know how he does that. I don't know how he does that. So, to the person I spoke with earlier today, who's, oh, cancel culture. It's so easy, and that's why we do it. Slap a label on it. Boom. Take the time to find out what was really said. Let's see. Janelle says, I go talk with him, but he probably goes. Orion says, definitely fired for cause here. Again, he resigned, but we know usually what that means. Andrew says, depends on the setting. Is this a personal or business setting? These are all done on a business email account, and they are sent to other members of the NFL. I agree with you in one regard, that if this was somebody had hacked his personal emails, I wouldn't be talking about it, because I've made it a policy to not talk about hacked information. And I would try and leave it at that. But, Andrew, unfortunately, once the cat is out of the bag, regardless of how it comes out, as an employer, you still have to act, because this is a highly publicized situation and you are in a highly publicized league. And so you could never just say, oh, well, these are his personal emails, so it's no big deal. No, because all the same things have happened. He's lost credibility. He's destroyed the credibility of the NFL commissioner. He has destroyed his own credibility with his own players and demonstrated himself to be of a certain character. And everybody knows about it. So I would love to be able to say he has every right to make these comments personally and privately. And he certainly has that right. And I would want his commentary to be kept personal and private. But it's out, and guess who found it? That's the other part of this that is an important part of the equation. That this wasn't some whistleblower, this wasn't some disgruntled employee. The NFL, the organization he works for, found it as part of a separate investigation. So, to me, they 100% have to deal with it. And I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed in one person. John Gruden. I'm not angry at the Raiders. I'm not angry at the NFL. I read this, I would have come to the same conclusion. and I would have been accused of cancel culture. But you cannot tell me that in this exact circumstance, in any workplace in the country, that this person keeps their job. Just can't tell me that. So calling it cancel culture, I'll tell you what's happening. I talked about this at the beginning of the broadcast tonight. People will use anything to stir you up and to manipulate you into believing that this is something that it's not, because they want you angry. They want you filled with rage, because that's how they control you. That's how. And so if you hear cries of cancel culture, I would suggest that you question the motive and the intent now that you know, if you hadn't researched it already, now that you know the content and the context in which this information was given. And watch for it. Watch for the leadership. Watch for people. Watch for the conservative pundits who want to convince you that this is something that it is not. Let's see here. Here's Orion. Guarantee you that if I called the president of my company a pretty kitty for not knowing anything about automobiles, I'd be fired for sure. No question. And you did it in the company email and you send it to other company employees? There is no doubt. And if you cried cancel culture, they would laugh at you. Janelle says, I think the first few things mentioned about his conduct in most work settings would not be acceptable and would get him fired. I agree with you. And then she says, he sounds like not an awesome guy, honestly. I know. I was so disappointed. So disappointed. Andrew says, I would like to see the actual emails instead of reading the media's interpretation. Well, that's why I tried as much as possible to distinguish between their interpretation. That's why I shared with you, I don't like it when they tell you what these things are. I tried to just read for you what was said. You know, maybe we'll get to see them. I don't know if they've been published, but John Gruden, I'll share with you what he said here. He said, I was in a bad frame of mind in that time in 2011, and I called Roger Goodell an expletive in one of these emails, too. They were keeping players and coaches from doing what they love. This was during the lockout. With a lockout, there also were a lot of things being reported publicly about the safety of the sport that I love. I was on a mission with high school football in the Tampa, Florida area during that time, and there were a lot of parents who were scared about letting their kids play football. It just didn't sit well with me. He said he didn't remember the specifics of the email to Allen and that he uses the term rubber lips to describe someone as a liar. He added that he is not a racist, but that his comments went too far, and that he would take responsibility for them. And that's what I would say. That's what I would say to you, Andrew, about how you would like to see the context. If John Gruden was out saying, I didn't say those things, or that was taken out of context, he did that with one of the things, but he basically copped to all of the other things. So that's one of the ways you can know if you need to go and do more research, you know, if you need to go and read the actual emails, is if the accused is saying, that's not me. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant. John Gruden is doing that. He's saying, I'm not a racist, but my comments went too far. He also said, I do know this. At that point in my life, 11 years ago or 10 years ago, I'm sure I vented a little bit with my friends about certain things. I know at the time the collective bargaining agreement was changing. There was a lockout going on. or the threat of a lockout, if I can remember. I probably looked at Smith as the villain, and I was really upset. I was really upset that there was going to be a lockout. I felt that Gene Upshaw would never have allowed that to happen. I didn't feel like we were getting the truth. I refer to guys when I see them lying, and I can tell they're lying. I refer to them as rubber lips. I went too far calling him the Michelin lips. I never had a blade of racism in me. I was just pissed and used a terrible way to insult a guy. I called Smith. I have reached out to him, and I haven't heard back from him yet. But I will continue to try. Again, when I first heard the rubber lips comment, my first thought was not, he's got to go. And when I heard, it was my wife who texted me last night. She said, John Gruden just resigned. When I heard that, I knew there had to be more to the story. And I've just shared with you the more. So that's often something that I will do, Andrew, if I'm concerned about the media's interpretation, is I'll look to the accused and say, well, are they denying it? Are they denying the interpretation of it? He's denying the interpretation that he's racist. And I'm not here to tell you he's a racist. That's not something that I will do. I will tell you if terminology is inappropriate and can be construed as racist, but I'm not going to tell you what's in a man's heart because I don't know. I can tell you that this type of language, I believe, should be, for anybody out there listening, if you still participate in this type of language, it needs to go. Not by law, but just by humanity, just out of respect. Needs to go. You know, I raised my kids with two philosophies when it comes to this type of thing. The first thing I raised them to be is to not let other people control you with their words, to take the power out of words. And the next thing I told them is, and you would think that these kind of go against each other, but they don't. I believe they can coexist. Was to teach them to have respect for other people's feelings and their desires and to not purposefully seek to offend or to use language that you know would cause other people turmoil. To me, that's just part of good citizenship. So be strong in your own self and don't let the personal attacks, and you know, I've been in the business of sharing my beliefs on the radio for 20 years, it cracks me up when people think that they can insult me and I'm going to get all upset about it, because you can't do what I do and then run for Congress and not have the thickest skin possible. But I don't go around saying, I have thick skin, so you should too. I go around trying to respect who you are and how you want to be called and how you want to be treated. Because that's how I want to be treated. And to me, that's just good citizenship. That's just being human, right? That's just being human. What else do we have here? Janelle says, so many inappropriate things, not a good role model or someone I would want to work for. I'm assuming the players and staff would not want to work under him either. My bet is that there was, and from some of the statements that I've seen, there's a real conflict going on with a lot of his players, a lot of the people who have worked with him on TV and in the league, because they've not known him to be this guy and they've grown to respect him. And now they're confronted with this other side of him. And so they're like, on the one hand, they want to like say, I'm sure there is a desire by some to want to excuse it away because this is not the person that I know. And on the other hand, there's desire of, oh my gosh, I thought I knew this person. So I think it just depends on the person and the relationship that he has with them. Andrew says, fair point, the cat is out of the bag. Yeah, Andrew, I wish it wasn't that way, you know. But an employer has to, they have to deal with what is, not what they wish would have happened. And so, unfortunately, I don't see that the Raiders had another course of action after what I've read to you tonight. I don't. Michael joins us. He says, this is troubling. We are in trouble. Yeah, it is troubling. Should we continue with the sports ball stuff? I got another sports ball story. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. This is basketball. So I love the NFL, love the NBA even more. And I've been, I told you I recently got my son, my 21-year-old son, into watching basketball. He now knows more about it than I do. And so we've been watching the teams as they've come together. And one of the teams we've been watching is the Brooklyn Nets. We had hoped that they would have done better yet last year, but because of injury, they didn't go as deep as we wanted them to, but we wanted to see, especially because we like Kevin Durant and James Harden is playing different now. He's leading the league in assists, and Kyrie is just amazing to watch. So we kind of know each team. We're watching Golden State to see when Klay Thompson comes back. I mean, this is the kind of conversations I have with my son. So when he comes home from work tonight, I know I'm going to have this conversation with him. I'm going to say, hey, David, did you hear about Kyrie? And he's going to say no, because he's been at work all afternoon. And I'm going to say, Kyrie's not going to be playing until he gets vaxxed. And it will be an interesting conversation with my son. And, you know, I think I know how he feels about it. He's vaccinated. I think I know what my son will say. But I wanted to know what you have to say about it, because this is interesting, right? And again, there's a discussion here. I'll show you the picture of Kyrie. There's a discussion here about states' rights, and there's a discussion here about business rights. Both of those are in play in this equation. So I don't necessarily need to read this to you. I think I can explain it to you. Basically, Kyrie has not told the public whether or not he's been vaccinated, but because he plays in New York, New York has instituted a law saying if you play in a public sport or for a team, you have to be vaccinated. And the team is also appears to be enforcing a vaccination mandate. So they could have Kyrie only play in away games so that he's following the law. But they're like, we're not going to divide our team like that. We need chemistry. We need the same players to be playing every night if we can get that. So they've basically put Kyrie Irving on the bench until further notice. He won't be playing in home games and he won't be playing in away games. And he's probably, if this lasts through the season, he's probably going to lose about $35 million. Now, I know you're not weeping and crying big tears about him, you know, losing $35 million, but there is an interesting discussion to be had here about whether or not you agree with what the Nets have done. What do you think? Give me your thoughts. Again, this, I don't think this should be a discussion of can, because I've told you, and if you disagree with me, I would love to hear it, but states have every right to issue mandates. They can do it. We can talk about whether or not they should do it. But states can force you to wear a mask, and states can force you to get vaccinated. This is established, and it doesn't look like the Supreme Court is going to overturn it, and businesses can force it. And there was a case recently that came to the Supreme Court, and that case seemed to apparently back up the idea that states have every right to require you to be vaxxed. And so, again, this to me is not a discussion about can they do it. I fully believe they can. Now, I do not believe that Biden can issue a vaccine mandate for all employers. I think that that goes outside of his constitutional authority. But states have the authority to issue mask mandates and vaccine mandates. That's established. It's one of the things that the 10th Amendment grants. And so people who are out there feigning that this is a violation of their civil liberties, it's not. It's not. You may not like it, but it's not. Because you don't have your state violates civil liberties all the time if you want to play in that arena. They put all kinds of mandates on you when it comes to driving, when it comes to drinking, when it comes to drugs, when it comes to wearing clothes in public. Do you know you have to wear clothes in public? Funny, we weren't running around complaining about the civil rights issues before that. So, again, if you want to say you don't believe states should do this, then I can come along with you. But if you want to say it's a violation of their civil rights to do it, I can't come with you on that journey. Because that's just not the case. It's just not the case. Andrew, let's see if I can get your comment up here. Andrew, a person who is fully vaccinated, it is in my opinion that it is an individual's choice to be vaccinated. However, the Nets have every right to bench Kyrie. This is a business rights issue. Yeah, you're exactly right. So Kyrie in this instance is choosing the option that is available to him. And that is to ride the bench and not get paid. It's the NBA's right, or his team. Hang on, I'm gonna sneeze. It's the team's right to be able to do this, and it's his right to be able to say, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna participate in that. So his rights aren't violated, and the business rights are not violated. You're exactly right, Andrew. I think that's exactly the way where the line should be. But in this case, what is not clear is if the Nets are just doing this because the state of New York has put this mandate in place, or do they agree with the mandate? So so there is an issue here of the state and whether or not they should be doing this, and an issue of the business and whether or not they should be doing this. As I said, I believe they both can. They are both within their rights to do so. And it is your right to not comply, I guess. Any other comments on that? Those are my two sports stories tonight. I don't bring you a lot of sports, but they weren't really sports stories, were they? Any other comments? I had one other thing for you tonight. I had a story. I teased you with a story about how conspiracy theories are actually bad for your health. But I'm not going to get to that one tonight because I don't have it set up properly to show you. So maybe we'll do that on Thursday. But these are studies that literally show that those who believe in conspiracy theories have more health problems. Correlation is causation. I don't know. But this wasn't a result of because they believe a conspiracy, they're not getting health care. This was a direct result of what living in a world, and I think it's probably the stress that comes from living in a conspiracy world and how that wreaks havoc on your body on top of all of the issues. Andrew says, in my opinion, the Nets are doing this because of the state mandate. I think that's probably right. And they have to decide, you know, are we going to have a team that, because he can't even practice in the state of New York. He can't set foot on a court with his teammates as part of his job. So they're like, if he can't practice, if he can't gel with the team, and this team has not had a lot of real-time play together because of injuries, then we're going to assume he's not going to be with us, and we're going to treat him that way until such a time that he can come on and work full bore. Janelle says, aren't all the Jazz required to vaccinate? I'm not sure about that. I can check. You got other listeners can probably confirm that. Oh, Google brings it up pretty quick. Vivint Arena announces updated health and safety entry. I know that they were requiring their attendees to show proof of vaccination or a negative test. So it would follow that the Jazz players would be required. So that makes sense. Let's see. Yeah. So I think that's right. Orion says the stress from chemtrails causes elevated BP. Yeah. And Janelle again, Andrew Allen, talking to Andrew Allen, I don't know. The NBA has been really careful about COVID. Just went a preseason game last night in Utah, and we had to show proof of vaccine or negative test. I think, Janelle, that these can be decisions made by teams. Let me check here. I'll just do another search here to see if another team is doing it. Another team that I like. Okay, so the Dallas Mavericks, are requiring all fans to show proof of full COVID-19 vaccination. So that's a place where they're not going to be required by the state, but the team has decided to do that. What about... Let's check somewhere else. I'm trying to go in the more conservative states here. Oklahoma City Thunder fans will need proof of vaccination. So yeah, Janelle, it's starting to feel pretty universal, isn't it? Well, why am I searching individual states when I get individual teams? Hello, just search NBA. Just do that, big dummy. Michael Jordan reveals thoughts on NBA vaccine mandate. Okay, so this is interesting. Let's see if you can see this. Maybe if I shrink it down a little bit. Unvaccinated NBA players won't be paid for every game missed due to local COVID-19 mandates. They said that this story says that the Players Association would have to approve a league-wide mandate for the NBA. The NBA has made these proposals, but the Players Union has rejected any vaccination requirement. So it is being left up to the individual teams, and it is also local laws are playing into those decisions. So good questions there. Janelle says, interesting. Orion says, I'm getting COVID PTSD, just remembering about COVID and NBA. It's when the Jazz game ended abruptly last year is when this nightmare started. I know. Y'all think about that back when our country just one thing after the other just completely shut down and our lives changed. Yeah. Thanks, Orion, for remembering that. Andrew says, I'm pretty sure I remember hearing Kyrie is a flat earther. He did make some flat earth comments. A couple of NBA players have. Let's see. We're just having fun with the Google tonight. I should call the show Fun with the Google. He has publicly made clear that he regrets publicly saying that the earth is flat. This is on NBA.com. I can actually bring it up better if I just make this quick adjustment. Bear with me. I'll give you a topic. Here we go. All right. This will be easier for you to see. So Kyrie offered a simple message to science teachers Monday. "I'm sorry," the Boston Celtics star said. And with that, Irving made clear that he regrets publicly saying that the Earth is flat. Speaking Monday at the Forbes Under 30 Summit in Boston, the flat Earth topic that Irving inserted himself into last year was discussed, and the All-Star guard said he didn't realize the effect that his claim would have once it went public. It doesn't say if he regrets, if he still believes it or not. I'll read it as soon as I fix my green screen. I apologize to everybody on the podcast because none of this green screen stuff or what you can see is important to you. But that's what happens when you simulcast. Let's see. Irving said he's since learned. No, he must still believe it. Irving said he's since learned certain thoughts are best kept in intimate conversations. I think that if you are a flat earther, you should be able to say it loud and proud. The whole saga started in February 2017 when Irving questioned whether the Earth is flat on a podcast that came out shortly before All-Star Weekend. It became a major story, and even NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, who, like Irving, went to Duke, was asked to offer his opinion. Silver said, "Kyrie and I went to the same college. He may have taken some different courses." Kyrie at the time said, "I do research on both sides. I'm not against anyone that thinks the Earth is round. I'm not against anyone that thinks it's flat. I just love hearing the debate." He says, "At the time, I was like huge into conspiracies, and everybody's been there." Well, I've never believed the Earth was flat, Kyrie. I don't know if that's what you mean. If you want to watch something interesting, there is, I forget what it's called, but it's on Netflix, and it's a documentary on the flat earthers. And they try to be kind to them, but there are some flat earthers who are convinced that their science experiments are going to prove that the Earth is flat. And in every case, when they conduct the science experiment, it actually proves that the Earth is round. And they disregard it. They say their instrumentation or their methodology was wrong. And so they just change the testing. I encourage you to watch it. It's a very interesting picture into the mind of regular everyday people who get sucked down, regular smart everyday people who get sucked down the conspiracy rabbit hole, and why it happens to them and the psychology behind it. I think it's fascinating. Let's see. Andrew says, "I think we should send Kyrie up on the next commercial space flight." I know. That would be awesome. And Orion says, "Research, looking up some videos on YouTube and letting confirmation bias do the rest." I do love the word. There's some epidemiologists on TikTok who have been railing against the term research because they've had to do real research. They had to do real research to get through college. They have to do real research all the time. And they're confronted every day with somebody says, this statement, and it's followed by, "Do the research," as if they have actually done any research. Yeah, so another word that's been co-opted. You know, my favorite thing, I say favorite thing, but one of the craziest things over the last 2 years is that everybody in the last 2 years has become an election fraud expert, and they've become an epidemiologist. In a few short months. and people went to college for years for that and racked up student loans and spent all this time. All they needed to do was go on the Google. That's it. What were they thinking? Yeah, it's pretty sad. All right, my friends, how long we've been going? Let me guess. I'm going to say an hour. Hour 17. It's flown by. It's absolutely flown by. Those of you who have joined us late, I want you to click on the like button and see what happens on the screen. or share this post with somebody that you love and watch what happens on the screen. I also want to remind you to please take a minute and go to jmcfarland.com and join the membership club. You can join for free, and that will give you access to my public blog and notifications about everything going on. But if you can support this podcast, starting at just $5 a month, you'll start to get access to posts that I only post for members. And depending on what level you come in at, access to books, access to webinars, access to merch. That's right. We have merch now. And so that is all designed to just help me continue to bring this to you on a regular basis. So if you like it and you appreciate it and you can afford it, please take a minute and help me out. That will go a long way in this process. Again, thank you so much for joining me. Like I said, hopefully in the next 10 days, I will have an interview with Becky Edwards. She's running against Mike Lee. I had a fascinating conversation with her last night. I want you to hear her perspective. I think it's important. She's a seasoned legislator in this state, and I think her perspective is something that you need to hear. So we'll have that coming up, and a lot of other fun announcements, I think, coming up in the future. With that, my friends, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to wait for my son to come home, and then I'm going to pounce, and I'm going to say, did you hear about Kyrie Irving? And then we're going to have that discussion. All right, everybody, thanks again. Have a great night. I'll be back on Thursday night. God willing, and the creek don't rise. See ya. I'm still here. Everybody have a great night.